Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, can you put your hands together and bless His name? Can you bless His name? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know God is doing a great work in this place? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God. I really do feel to give you a word from the Lord tonight. Amen. I know we've shouted and we've danced, we've rejoiced, and those that's praying, continue on. You're not going to bother me. I promise you that. I always love it when God gives me one of those messages that's going to just, you know, you're going to preach and the place is just going to tear itself up. But from the time Brother Pinero asked me to come, I didn't feel that. And the whole time I just, you know, I get nervous in my spirit going, oh Lord, what you, I don't like this, Lord. But now I know. And you know, if you trust in God, it'll just work. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to try not to preach very long, but I'm telling you, I feel this in the Holy Ghost so strong. I'm going to give you something that's probably, you're probably not going to shout, and that's all right. That's all right. I want you to get with me though, all right? Because this is still the Word, and I want to reveal something to you if I can. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach us, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Very important portion of Scripture. For us apostolics, a little bit different than what I'm going to tell you tonight, actually. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and that shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And ye shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, don't you love the lawyers? They're going to try to trip him up here. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, he said, by the way, is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Everything else is bound up together in these two commandments, that you would love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and that you would love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else, your prayer life hangs on these two right here. Your holiness hangs upon these two right here. Your revival hangs upon these two right here. Oh, if we could just, you know, have a move of God, Brother Bonham. No. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. That's what'll cause revival. Love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. That's what will cause an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That's what will bring healing. That's what will bring anointing. That's what will bring... I'm telling you, friends. I'm telling you. Jesus said everything else, everything, hangs on these two things. Everything. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you just for a little while tonight. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Can we look to the Lord and just pray tonight? Jesus, we love you. We're thus so thankful. God, for your mercy, for your kindness, Lord. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, Jesus. With all of our soul and with all of our mind, Lord. Let it be so. Touch each and every heart and each and every person in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn and give somebody a high five and tell them, I am persuaded. And you can be seated. As you're being seated, I just want to say it is so good to be here tonight. Tremendous service in the house of God. It's good to be here with my very, very, very good friend, Pastor Panero, and his beautiful wife and their beautiful daughter. Amen. We love them so very, very much. Such great friends of ours. Good to be here with Brother Bonham tonight. Amen. And good to be with all of you. Praise God. It's good to see somebody who knows the city of Taft. Met Karen just a little bit earlier, and she knows some friends of ours in the city of Taft. Good people. Amen. And we love them very, very much. This passage in Deuteronomy is what is called the Shema. It's called the Shema because the first word in the passage is hear. That word Shema means literally hear, to hear. So we, as apostolics, don't we love this one? The Lord our God is one Lord. And we get after it. But that's not really the most important part of that scripture. To the Jewish people, this passage is called the Shema. And they read it daily. And they proclaim it because of that first word that is in there. And that is this word, hear. Before you can do anything else, you've got to hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's got to be a hearing that is involved before we do really anything else. So this passage literally would read like this in the Hebrew, Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's got to be something within us that hears what is being said. When Jesus gave the Pharisees the answer to this question, which is the first and great commandment, really, they were seeking for something that would incriminate him. Yeah. They were seeking for something that they could stone him with or cast him out or anything else from which this lawyer could then take him before the elders and have him incriminated by something. And Jesus answers and says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Those three things. It's very, very important that we remember that as I go on here. He said, this is the first and great commandment. I find it fascinating that Jesus does not answer with one of the Ten Commandments. He doesn't answer with that. They said, what is the first and great commandment? He didn't answer with one of the Decalogue. He didn't answer with one of those. He answered with what the Hebrew people would have understood as being something that they read every day and quite possibly passed up. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He answered with the Shema. He didn't say Shema, but it was implied. Because everybody that was standing there was Jews, they would have understood exactly what he was talking about. The passage that he was talking about and the verbiage that he was talking about, they would have understood exactly. Jesus knew the hearts of those that were asking him the question. He knew they were trying to trip him up, and so he adds this little caveat to it. He says, and the second is like unto the first, that you shall love the Lord your God that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. I hear us sometimes saying, you know, if we could just have all night prayer meetings, we would have revival. If we could just get back to this certain particular thing that we used to do 50 years ago, we would have revival. And my answer to that is, you know what? That's really not going to bring revival. Now, I don't mean to mess up your theology or anything else like that, but I'm just telling you that right there is not what's going to bring you revival. You could pray all night long and never get revival. You could pray all night long and never see a real move of God. You could pray days on end for years upon end, Brother Bonham, and never really receive what you've been asking God for. Oh, I know. I'm messing with your theology. That's all right. I'm going somewhere. If we don't love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and we don't love our neighbor as ourself. Now, hey, I don't know about you, but I like to eat. It shows, right? It's there. That would mean there's one biscuit in the house. I haven't eaten in a week. Brother Panero, if you come along, I got to share my biscuit with you. It's going to be the smaller half, though. Is that all right? You say, but I don't want to starve. But if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you will feed your neighbor. Oh, I would, Pastor. We love you. We would feed you. We don't want you to starve. We don't want... What about that guy laying in the gutter down the street? What about that heroin addict who's still got a needle in his arm currently? What about that person who's just down on their luck? When we love others like we love ourselves, my God, church, there's going to be a revival in this place. There's going to be a revival in this land that this church will not be able to contain. There will be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There will be souls. There will be so many souls that you'll be saying, I'm looking for a ministry. You'll have a ministry in new converts classes. I'm telling you, church, when we begin to love people like we love ourselves, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. To love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. Everything else hinges upon the fact that we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. So what does it mean to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind? The heart is the seat of the emotion. It is the pathos part of our being. Now this is where, just stick with me, okay? I'm going to explain it, but I'm going to get a little bit academic here for a minute, all right? Pathos deals with our passions and our emotions. We are emotional beings. We're emotional creatures. You come to church and you say, well, you know, I'm just not very emotional. Brother McDaniel, I don't cry. Okay, put your thumb out here on this and let me get a hammer and just, and I promise you, I will evoke some kind of emotion out of you. You will dance, you will hold your finger, you'll be like a kid again, sucking your thumb, and you'll be, oh, I can't believe Brother McDaniel did that to me. He's such a mean guy. I'll evoke some emotion out of you, I promise you. If you don't want to put your thumb out, come up here and let me kick you in the kneecap real hard, and I'll get some emotion out of you, I promise you. So we are emotional beings. The heart is the seat of the emotion. Listen to what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 4. Watch over your heart with all diligence. With all diligence, watch your heart. For from it flows springs of life. From where flows springs of life, Pastor? From the heart. From the seat of the emotions flows springs of life. Then listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 7. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit which he should receive, and the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. From where? From the heart. When God fills the heart, when we believe on him, as the scripture has said, and the heart is convinced, when the heart becomes persuaded, when the heart is full of that passion for God, that emotion for God. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. The soul is really synonymous with the spirit. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Then in John chapter 20, he said, and when he had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word inspired, literally translated, means divinely breathed. You know, to speak, it takes breath. It takes breath to speak. All Scripture is given from the breath of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction. What gives us the ability to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul? The breath of God in us, which is the Word of God and the Spirit that He puts within us. So He said to love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. The mind is the Greek word dianoia, meaning the entire faculty of the mind, and to include the thought process. So when we love God with all of our mind, we're talking about loving Him with everything within our mind, our thoughts and our thought processes. In other words, it is a decision to love God. It is a decision to praise God. Why must we love God with a decision? Because for love to be possible, there must be a free will to decide, I'm going to love God. You think about this. I love my wife, and she loves me, and I want her to stay with me. But I don't want her to stay with me because she has to. That wouldn't be love. That would be captivity. Jesus doesn't want captives. He wants people to love Him because He chose to love you. He didn't have to put on a robe of flesh and come down and be obedient to the cross. But a decision to love you and I brought Him down to Calvary. And there He decided to place Himself upon a cross, to die for our sins, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And in that process, Pastor, He gave us a decision. He gave us a free will that says, you can choose not to serve me if that's what you want to do. You have that decision. And far too many of us have taken that decision. But there's another decision, and that is that decision to come before Him with love and adoration and give freely ourselves unto Him. There must be a decision to love based on one's mind being persuaded. We're going somewhere. Stay with me. Faith is a decision. Loving God and believing Him and taking Him at His word is a decision. I decide to believe God and take Him at His word. I decide to believe His word. I decide that no matter what, I'm going to love Him and I'm going to follow Him. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Did you hear what he said? Paul said, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. In other words, I've made up my mind to serve Him. You know why Paul could make up his mind to serve Him? Because he was persuaded. Because he was persuaded. Now let me get very academic for just a moment. Aristotle, Greek philosopher way, way, way back when, 300 BCs or so, wrote a book called Rhetoric. Rhetoric just means the art of persuasion. In which he said, Aristotle said, we persuade on three different levels. We persuade on three different levels. Anytime we're trying to persuade somebody of the rightness or the wrongness of a course of action, we persuade on three different levels. That is ethos, pathos, and logos. Yeah. Some of you are nodding. You've heard this before. Ethos, pathos, and logos. Pathos is our emotions or the heart.
Athos is our being or the soul. And logos is logic or the mind. In other words, Jesus said, you gotta love me with all of your heart, with your pathos, with all of your soul, which is your ethos, and all of your mind, which is your logos. You know why? Because if I persuaded you on all three levels, there's nothing that's going to separate you from my love. There's nothing that's going to pull you out of the church. There's nothing that's going to pull you away from the glory that I'm trying to do in your life. When you're persuaded with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, nothing's going to pull you away. Hallelujah. My God. When you're persuaded to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, with all of your pathos, with all of your ethos, and with all of your logos, I'm going to tell you something, church. Then, when you love God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Because you understand something about God then. You understand something about the nature of God. That I was poor, wretched, miserable, laying out, drunk on a bar stool. I was laying out in the gutter, found myself way too many times in situations where I should have died, but the mercy of God brought me through. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, I am persuaded with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, that Jesus Christ loves me with everything of His being. And it makes me love you because He loved me. It makes me look at people in a whole new different light. It makes me look at people and say, you know what? I know where they are, but I know where I was too. I know where they are right now, but I know where God's trying to take them to. I know where they are right now. They may look tore up from the floor up, but I'm telling you right now, I know what God wants to do with them because He did it in me. He took me from that place and brought me to this place. He took me from the mire to the choir. He took me from something that I thought could never be used to something that He can use. You know why I say on these two, Jesus said, I hang all the law and the prophets, and everything else hangs in between. I use this kind of analogy. When I was growing up, we grow up poor. I'm telling you, friend. Yeah. Don't let the suit fool you. Well, we grew up poor. I mean, we had biscuit and gravy, not because it was good, because it's all we had. But it was still good, by the way. We grew up with a clothesline. Brother Bonham, you remember that? How many remember a clothesline? Alright. We grew up with a clothesline. We couldn't afford the good wire though. My grandpa had to hang that cheap plastic string wire, whatever he could get, and it would stretch. So it only lasted about 1 year, and then he'd, okay, we gotta get some more of that there wire stuff out there and he'd string that wire out there, boy. By the end of that summer, boy, that's clothes almost touching the ground, you know what I mean? We had a clothesline. And we would hang clothes out there to dry on the line. That's how we did it. You kids don't know nothing about this, do you? You have no clue what I'm even talking about. You know what would happen if one of those posts was to fall? You'd be rewashing them clothes. Because on these two hung all the clean laundry that you didn't want down in the dirt. You know why everything else hangs upon these? Because when you have your relationship with God right, and you have your relationship with people right, worship will not be an issue. When you have your relationship with God and your relationship with people, holiness will not be an issue. When you have your relationship with God and you're persuaded with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind, prayer will not be an issue. The pastor will not have to try to prime you before service to get you up here to pray. Tithing and offering will not be an issue because you'll understand, hey, I believe God. And if He says give, I'm going to give joyfully. Faithfulness to the house of God will not be an issue. When you're persuaded with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, obedience and submission is not an issue. Hallelujah. My God, my God. Josiah was the last great king of Judah. He was the last great king of Judah. His father and his grandfather before him had turned to idols and built altars to false gods. Josiah went in there. The Bible says at 8 years old, he began to seek after God. Young people, never, never, never count your youth as being worthless. At 8 years old, Josiah, one young man, took it within his heart to turn his entire nation around. At 8 years old, the Bible says he began to seek after God. The Bible says he tore down all the altars. He restored worship to the one true God. And in that process, he found the book of the law that had been lost. It was lost inside of the temple. How in the world do you lose the word of God when it's inside the church? You know how? Because they didn't hear. They weren't persuaded. The law had been lost for at least 2 generations. His father and his grandfather before him, Hezekiah was his great grandfather, and he had followed after God. But his father and his grandfather had not. Listen to what 2 Kings chapter 23 says about him. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. He said, I'm persuaded on all three levels. And because of that persuasion, he took it within himself to straighten up the house of God, to straighten up worship. According to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Josiah turned back to what he had heard from the word of God. He hadn't heard it from his father and his grandfather. He had to have heard it from great-grandpa Hezekiah. He had had to have heard it from a third generation away. He turned back to the Shema. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's so important that we understand the first real commandment is this: hear. Hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear. Hallelujah. Musicians, would you come? See, on these two things hang all the law and the prophets. On these two things. Holiness hangs on you loving God and loving your neighbor. Righteousness hangs on you loving God and you loving your neighbor. Faith hangs on you loving God and loving your neighbor. Blessings hang on you loving God and loving your neighbor. Hope hangs on you loving God and loving your neighbor. Peace hangs upon you loving God and loving your neighbor. Revival hangs upon you loving God and loving your neighbor. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. You see, church, when we are persuaded, when we are persuaded that this is truth, hear me. I love y'all. When we're persuaded that this is truth, this building will not contain the revival that God really has. I'm going to say it again, okay? When we are persuaded that this is truth, this building will not contain the revival that God has for this city. But here's where it hinges. He said, hear. I ask you tonight, what have you heard? How much of the word of God do you really hear? Oh, we hear great preaching. Pastor preaches great all the time. I'm sure he does. I've heard him. He's preached for us. He does a great job. Tremendous. But how much did you really hear? Oh, you were here, but you didn't hear. Oh, I was here, but did you hear? And I ask this question tonight, what more do you need to hear? to let God have His will in your life? What more do you need to hear? I've heard people say it time and time again. Oh, if they'll play that song one more time, I'll shout. Maybe. How many times do you want to hear it before you start shouting? I'm being serious. Why they got to sing it 10 times before we shout? We got to pump you up or something? Why didn't you hear it the first time? Because He said, don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. But you know what makes the connection between hearing and doing? Being persuaded. When you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, when you say, oh, I am persuaded that neither depth nor height nor any other thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. I am persuaded that Jesus Christ is Lord. What more do we need to hear to give everything to God? Oh, I'm pulling for somebody tonight. Come on, I'm pulling for somebody. I want to help you. There's a pastor, there's a man of God up here that wants to pray with you. There's saints that want to pray with you. What more do you need to hear to get up out of your seat, come to an altar, and surrender to Him? I promise you this, friend, it's not another sermon, because you've already heard enough. Jesus loves you, friend. That's all you really need to hear. You just got to be persuaded. You got to be persuaded. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me all across the house. Would everybody please stand? Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to lift up your hands all across the place. Lift up your hands. Begin to love Him. Begin to love Him. Hallelujah. See, I'm going to ask in just a moment. I'm going to open up the altars and I'm going to ask you to come. But keep your hands lifted. Come on. Your eyes closed. Don't look around. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. I want to ask you, what more do you need to hear? If you need to hear it one more time, I'll tell you, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He died for you that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You don't have to live in the condition that you're in right now. Saint of God, church, Revival Tabernacle, I'm telling you, God wants to pour out a revival in this place like you just can't even imagine. Just hear. Make that connection between hearing and doing, being persuaded. Love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I promise you, friends, my God, I'm going to open up these altars. I'm begging you, please. Please come. Everybody across this house, come on. Because we're never so close to God that we couldn't get a little bit closer. We're never so close to Him that we couldn't get just a little bit closer. Come on, would you come? If you want your life to be changed, I want you to come. You've been running from God. You've been trying your best to avoid. But I'm telling you, friend, He's like a hound of heaven. He's going to pursue you. I fled him. Oh, my God. Come on, I want you to come to these altars, friend. Lift up your hands and let God begin to pour out. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom.
Come on, there's freedom for you tonight. You don't have to leave the way you came.
The Spirit of the Lord is.
There's freedom. There's freedom.
There